All right. I told you that you have not heard anything yet. So, this month of September, since we started, we've been trying to make a distinction between culture, tradition, norm, and custom. And then religion, spirituality, you know, and faith. We are trying to put culture aside. And there is nothing called African religion. Okay? And there is nothing called European religion. There is no African religion, there is no European religion. Because even in Europe, where, you know, people are almost homogeneous, which means they are one people speaking one language, almost. But they are not, the Europeans are also not just, are not also homogeneous. The Europeans are different peoples. They are also heterogeneous. So it's difficult to establish a one size fits all. You know, kind of religion. Any religion that is like Islam, for example. Islam was not supposed to be an Arabic, you know, religion. But it became an Arabic religion. There is a history for that. We are not going to get into that. But because of the, you know, Muhammad's failure to become spiritual. And then it became a political organization. And that's why you have to, it's a do or die situation. So, and when you look at Buddhism, Hinduism, and so forth, we'll also talk about why they are, why, you know, Hindu is limited to India only. The Hindus are not really interested in expansionist, like their religion to go to the world, to the whole world. No, they are not interested in that. So, now when we come to us, we already discussed that our forefathers came to a stage where they didn't understand what to do anymore. You know, as far as, you know, agronomy, and, you know, as far as animal husbandry. They didn't understand what to do. And therefore, they consulted, you know, spirits, spiritual entities, at least to make the work easier. And that's when we find ourselves, our culture embedded, you know, certain things embedded into our culture, which were not supposed to be in our culture. Like, you know, the worship of ancestral spirits, for example, that's not culture. But it became part of culture because of a situation. It was a circumstantial issue. Because our forefathers went to a point of, you know, it's a do or die situation. They needed help. In fact, they thought they needed help. We can't blame them because that's what the situation was. And then we went into explaining to say, look, when you are, and allow me to limit it to, you know, okay, it's an African issue anyway, because the Zimbabweans, the Shonas also have totems. So the issue of totems are not cultural. When you are celebrating Totem Day, you are not celebrating a culture. You are celebrating spirituality. And that spirituality is, you know, kind of like limited to household spirituality. Because there are many totems. They are not one totem. There are many. So many clans. So when we are celebration, when we are doing Totem Expo, we are not doing cultural expo. And even our government officials, our traditional, you know, our traditional elders think, and they said this is tradition and this is culture, but it's not. When you are doing Totem Expo, it's like you are doing denominational, you know, denominational display. Elsin, Roman Catholic, you know, Baptist Church, Methodist coming together and everybody displaying there. That's not culture. That's religion. So because nobody's born a Catholic. Nobody's born a member of Dutch Reformed. People become. So nobody's born in a monkey totem, or nobody's born in a cow totem. People become, you know, you become part of that totem because of registration. And we went on talking about why should you be registered. Let me just make a distinction. I mean, not a distinction, but let me make a depiction. You know, we never had surnames. Even Jesus, you know, the word Christ is not a surname to say Jesus Christ. No, Jesus became Christ. So, when people wanted to identify somebody, they say, Jesus of where? Of Nazareth. Because there were many Jesus in those days. He was not the only one. There were many Jesus. And to differentiate, you will say, Jesus of Nazareth. They will say, Yeshua Minzaret, which means Jesus of Nazareth. So, there were a lot of Jesus. And there were a lot of Elijahs. So for you to make a difference, you say Elijah the Tishbite. Or Paul of Tarsus. Of Tarsus. Or Saul of Tarsus. That's how people were identified. Now, surnames came because you need to pay tax. And the government started to understand that the economy is in the tax. So for them to know who is who, they need to identify you by the surname. So that your clan, your entire can pay tax. Your entire family lineage can pay tax. Now, this is why we started to have totems. Because when our forefathers went to acquire the powers to become proper hunters, where they will hunt and they will turn into animals and chase after a springbok and get it. Because they ran out of tactics. Natural tactics, natural hunting tactics. and they wanted to employ supernatural and divine abilities to be able to hunt. And that's a violation of natural law. It's a violation of natural law and the deviation from the culture. So, our father started to violate culture and violate natural law by employing spirits to help them to do common work. Now, spirits are not, there's nothing you get from the spirits for free. There is a serious transaction, or there were serious transactions that our forefathers went through. I mean, you know, it's transactional. The exchange between a spirit and a human being is always transactional. And we need to know that there are many spiritual entities, very many. And not every spiritual entity is Kalunga.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian, passionately feeding the nation.
Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
The wait is over. The deals are here. It's Big Red Weekend. For 3 days only, ShopRite brings you massive savings of up to 50% off. Like a 4kg Real Good I2F mixed chicken portions, only 175 Namibian dollars. 10kg Top Food Top Score Super Maize Meal, just 115 Namibian dollars. 730, 750 or 780 grams Nola Mayonnaise, all variants, just 27 Namibian dollars each. 2-liter Coca-Cola soft drink, buy two for only 35 Namibian dollars. Don't miss out. This weekend only, get up to 50% off. Valid until Sunday, 21 September 2025. Only at ShopRite.
Alright, so our forefathers started to employ some tactics, you know, and I heard an elder saying, no, you see, when we used to, I mean, the riding of owls, you know, is a culture. So if the riding of owls is a culture, why do you insult an owl when you hear, you know, when you hear the sound, an owl crow? You insult it. Why? So, but writing of oil of owls is not culture. Because our culture is never spiritual. We need to understand this thing. Our culture is never spiritual. There is no spirit connected to our culture. Our culture is connected to natural law. In fact, it's a moral ethic, you know, of our harmonious coexistence. That's what culture is overseeing. The culture is overseeing our moral ethics behind our harmonious coexistence. Whether it's a coexistence with all elements of nature. And that's why there is no, you know, you don't really work hard to teach somebody, you know, culture. You don't need to, because culture is built in us. You know, we are born with it. It is derived from the coordinates of, you know, the dictates within the instinct of our conscience. That's what culture is. And culturally, naturally, we know what is wrong. and we know what is good. Evil, good and evil is regulated within us automatically. It's an operating system. Culture is our operating system. So, now, spirituality, however, you need to be in the spirit of whoever for you to communicate with that person, which means it is spirit to spirit, and we are physical beings. When you are talking about it from a natural law point of view. So, now, so the surname came because, you know, one, the government wanted to control, complete control, total control over whoever is in the territory. Total territorial control. So they dictated that you have a surname. Who is your father? No, my father is who. Okay. So, who's your father's father? My father's father is who. Okay. Then they decide. The common name of these people is Sinengela. So everyone will be Sinengela in this lineage. And they know that there are 20 families in this village. So, okay, we have $200 from each. That's 4,000. So that's it's for territorial economic, you know, benefit for the establishment of surnames. So that they can trace you and they know where to get you. Now, like I said, the exchange between our forefathers and the spirits were serious transactions. And we then started to have families that were transformed into accounts, like embassies, transactional accounts, where if you went to, for rain, for example, the first person that went to apply for rain, you know, abilities to make rain, that person has to pay. And the currency in the spirit, the only currency that is acceptable in the spirit is blood. That's the only currency that the spirits can accept, your own blood. And that's where there was an establishment of an account called the account called Obakwamani or Obalamba, who became Akwanangobe at some stage. It's the same thing. So these guys were the currency to pay for rain. So they were the ones whose blood waters the rainfall or the rain season. Now, look at this. We are talking about whose blood waters our freedom. Now, if physical freedom has to cost blood, spiritual freedom will cost more blood. It In fact, all the wars that you fight in this world, the blood goes to the spirit. I don't want to go there. But you know what I'm talking about. So it was a transactional issue. And that's where totems were created. So that the spirit, you know, the agreement is that you have to pay from the first to the last person in your lineage for the power that you went to look for. You had to pay for it. And for that to be possible, they have to now establish something that is called the priesthood. If I put it that way, you will understand. So the totems are priesthoods. Like they are sanctuaries. If I have to put it in a religious, you know, perspective, these are sanctuaries or altars on which through which the sacrifice can be made, and also through which the powers can manifest. So you cannot go to the bank today and ask for a loan if you don't have an account, or you also don't get a loan if you don't have a history of transaction between that bank. There must be some history of transaction. Or you cannot apply for internet, you know, installation without you providing the consent letter from the landlord or from the house, from the owner of the property. That's number one. Number two, there must be a lease agreement that shows that you are in agreement. Number three, if you don't have a lease agreement, at least have a water bill. And in those days, you cannot go and consult spirits if you have no children. Because how are you going to pay? If you have no child, you don't go and consult spirits because you have no economy. You have nothing. You have no money. You can't borrow because how are you going to return the loan? So all the totems that we have, these are as a result of loans that our forefathers went to get from spiritual entities. So it's not a culture, it's a priesthood. It's not a culture, it's a sanctuary. It's a, you know, it's a bank account. Being Omkusinda is not a culture, it's a bank account. You need to know that that's a bank account. You are transacting. That's why Kusinda, they have laws that are different from any other totem, because your bank account and your contract is different. So our forefathers went into contractual agreement with spirits because our forefathers failed to have tactics under common sense. And under common law, and under natural law. First of all, the tactics on animal husbandry, how to add value to the breed, and to crop farming. Our forefathers ran out of ideas. And when they ran out of ideas, they went to employ spirits. And it did not come cheap. So when we go deeper, you will understand what I'm saying. And I always say, I mean no offense. The aim of our program is to study and understand where we are coming from. And we also know, we need to know that in where we are coming from, we have also done a lot, we have also made a lot of mistakes. most of which have implicated us, and we don't know that we are bearing the consequences of our mistakes. In fact, we don't know that we laid the foundation to what we are going through today. So we need to understand that history is not always pleasant. There are things we have done in the past that are still haunting us today. And we need to welcome it with open hands. That's history. There's nothing we can do we can do something to change our fate, but not our past. Our past is already done. We can change our destiny, but we can't change our past. We cannot reverse time. So our forefathers went into serious transactions, and they only went to realize that they were in a serious transaction later on, and it was a point of no return. So, when our forefathers went to get this power, there was a need for establishment of accounts, or, you know.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs, and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag, your data matters.
All right, so you need to have for you to get government tenders, what do you need to have? You need to have a registered business. You don't just get tenders just because you are a citizen of Namibia. No. You need to have a registered, close cooperation. I hear now that, this close cooperation will be done away with. People will now, be forced to, establish PTY Limited. That's where the world is going. And things change even in the spirit. Even God himself is spirit. And if you want to worship God, you must worship God in what? In the spirit. You cannot worship God using culture. Because culture is not spiritual. You need to be spiritual. And you cannot be spiritual if you are not in the spirit of God, for you to be able to worship God or to communicate with God, you must be in the spirit. And the standard of God is very high. Now, because God saw that his standard was very high, he created something called natural law. He created something natural. It's something called the natural law, in which he put the ability for a human being to tell which one is wrong, which one is, right, through the instinct and the coordinates of his conscience. So, now, when you are in the spirit, like spirit-to-spirit communication, if we have to do tech now, TeamViewer, if I take a file from this computer and I transfer it to another computer through TeamViewer, I can be wherever I am. I'm not limited as long as there is what? Internet connection. So the internet connection is what connects me to that person. Now, faith is what connects you to a spirit. You cannot be connected to a spirit through culture. That's why witchcraft is not our culture. Because for you to practice witchcraft, you need faith to do that. Because that's what you need to connect you to a certain spiritual entity through which you can receive or transfer files wherever you are without being limited to distance and to space. But let me say there is no internet and I want a file from this computer to the other. What do I do? I will have to physically come to that computer, copy this file into a USB and leave that computer, go to another computer and copy that file from the USB into the computer. So our culture is entirely physical, bound to the natural law. And that's why in the culture, we coexist with water. We coexist with, you know, with animals. Some animals just came to us. And we saw that these animals are friendly. Let's identify what they eat. You give this one, does not eat. You give this, say, okay, let me take it to the field. And immediately start eating grass. Then you say, oh, so this eat grass. Okay, so I am going to make sure that I'm going to tend this sheep. We started tending sheep. We started tending cattle. We started, you know, tending goats and donkey. Because we understood that these animals are friendly to us. And we started creating laws on how we coexist with them. We didn't need a spirit to help us do that. We needed common sense. And our culture deals with common sense. What is common? That is what we deal with. We create morals and ethics around what is common. But witchcraft is not common. Because it's beyond our natural law. Beyond our ethics, beyond our morality. So we can't say faith is culture. We can't say religion is culture. No, it's not. So, now, for you to have a transaction, you needed a bank account. And our forefathers realized you need a child, you need to have children for you to do what you are doing. If you want transaction, you need to have children. Because if you don't have a child, how are you going to pay for, you want cattle to increase, but you have no child. You know? You have no child. So how are you going to increase your cattle? If you don't have a child. So you have to give your child in exchange with the powers for the increase of crop, for example, or cattle. You need to give your child. That's a transaction that was very serious. And then when we started creating totems, if you know how the people, you know, chant, for example, the Kwanangobes, how they chant, you will understand where they are coming from. You understand because they are the currency. They were the currency of rain. So they are blood, waters, rain season. Now, these are bank accounts. All your totems, so next year when you go into Oshakati and you are celebrating Totem Expo, you need to know that you are not celebrating Oshiwambo culture. You are celebrating your family hall, your family bank account. That's not Oshiwambo culture. That's your family bank account. Now, it will even be serious when we start to make a difference between taboos, you know, superstitions, and then belief. It will even become more serious. So we are just at the surface. We're just, even now, just scratching the surface. For those who do not follow, you can go to podcast and, you'll be able to follow what we already started talking about. And I always open my lines. You always don't need to agree with me. Just come and give your viewpoint. I can tell the difference between opinion and facts. If it is an opinion, we don't debate opinion. We debate facts. You know, we debate with facts. So if it is an opinion, if it's a, say, no, but I think and I feel that is an opinion. And you are entitled to your own opinion. But when it comes to facts, nobody's entitled to their facts because facts are to be revealed. Therefore, when fact meets facts, the lower fact will have to bow to the higher facts. That's how it is. So, our forefathers start to have laws because you can never sign a contract that does not have laws. That if you fail to pay, you will be, you know, the other party has right to come and take your properties for them to forfeit your properties to pay for what you cannot pay. These are laws that were derived from the spirit, not from culture. In culture, we didn't have these laws. Because in culture, everybody worked for himself. In culture, our moral was we eat from the work of our hands. And if we don't, we ask for help and we are assisted, we don't pay back with stringent conditions. There are no stringent conditions in Ubuntu, which is culture. But spirits have stringent conditions. And this is the same, and you see what the banks are using, the laws that this modern economy is using are the laws from the spirits. Because if you don't pay your car, what will happen? They will come and repossess it. What about what you have paid already? You know, what about everything that I paid and I just fail to pay just once like that? It doesn't count. As long as you fail to pay, they will come and, you know, repossess it without mercy. So you cannot even say this modern economy is a culture of a white person. No. This is not a culture. This is development. There's a difference between development and culture. And in most of the time, development is going against cultural morals. Because in a cultural moral, we share. If you don't have, we give you a fish today and we try to give you a hook tomorrow for so that you can catch fish for yourself tomorrow. We give you fish today to eat. And then we say, okay, let's make a net for you. So that tomorrow you will catch fish because we don't want dependency in culture because dependency is immoral in culture. It's unethical. So we don't want that. We want you to be self-reliant and self dependent. That's why in culture, we could make, you know, baskets, and we could wave baskets and, you know, mold clay pots. That was physics, and that was development that almost became an industry. Until we started involving spirits. When we started involving spirits, we started deviating from our industry, from our industrial capacity, into spiritual abilities, which rendered us unproductive. I can tell you how much the spirits rendered us unproductive. To the point that for 400 years, four good 100 years, we knew that there were few people that were moving around Africa. And we knew very well that these people are strange. Number one, their skin is different from ours. Number two, their language and conversation is totally different from ours. But how could we not pick up that we were in for a big problem if we didn't make any move to prevent it? How could we not pick it up? Well, our mother, Ethiopia, did pick it up. Because when we left Ethiopia and we scattered abroad, we started losing those qualities. We started losing certain qualities, and, you know, we became ignorant pastoralists and ignorant agronomists. Because we couldn't make a difference between, you know, what should be our natural responsibility in this solar system. And of course, our spiritual, you know, satisfaction, because a human being is a spirit being anyway. He's always missing, wanting an entity to worship. That's a human being. He's always craving for a supernatural power that is beyond him. That's the instinct of a human being. So, but we needed to make a distinction between our natural responsibility versus our desire to please spirits. But then our desire to please spirit was not even, you know, it became corrupted because we were in a transaction. It was not a relationship anymore. It was not a friendship. Like, you know, it's a friendship. It became a transaction. You know, between you and your bank, there is no friendship. You are as good as your last payment between you and your bank, as far as your house or your properties are concerned. You are as good as your last payment. So the moment you start to fail to pay, those people will not say you have been paying all along. No, they will just come straight with a court order to repossess your property. And that's how our forefathers realized that, look, there's no mutual benefit in this whole thing. It's all about what we are supposed to do. You know, the conditions were too harsh that our forefathers started somehow to revolt. And there is no revolt. Because you have already made the transaction. In fact, you have highlighted and cut your whole lineage and pasted it in the spirit. So that's why there is a totem. And they ask you, what totem are you? No, I am a totem of a monkey. Oh, then you are able to light fire for me. Do you know what light fire for me is? Then you are able to facilitate transaction for me. Okay, I'm making a general direct translation here, which might not make sense to you. That is not, but the Ovambo people will understand what I'm saying when I say you are able to light the fire. Now, lighting the fire in those days was crucial. Invoking the spirit responsible for the lineage. Remember, when you are in a totem of a monkey, for example, it's not a physical monkey that you are following. No, it's a spirit that takes the form of a monkey that serves as an ambassador to the major spiritual powers. And this ambassador will report to the spiritual powers on your conduct as far as that contractual agreement is concerned. It's not about your well-being. The bank does not care about you, whether you are sick or you are fine. The bank only cares about what you are supposed to pay at the end of the month. How you are going to make that money is not the bank's problem. So the spirits did not care about whether our forefathers were in check or in good health or what. That was not part of the agreement. Because a bank is not a hospital. If you are sick, you go to the hospital. So, and after that, the monkey is a representative, like it's a police officer that is sent to ensure that you conduct yourself accordingly, according to the contractual agreement that you went to make with the spiritual powers. So that's the monkey. So if you are from the lion lineage or lion totem, it's not a physical lion. Because a physical lion, once it sees you, it sees hungry, it sees, Nandos. You become Nandos in a lion's mouth. Even if spiritually you boast and say, we are of a lion clan, but go to Etosha today and stand there among the lions and see whether they are going to recognize you. You are going to be Nandos. So, this is to show that what we are talking about, when we are talking about totems, we are not physical. If you go around the gate that is in your house and you are walking from the gate, this gate has the audacity to run towards you and meet you. Because the instinct in the cat says, this is a friend. This is a master or whatever it calls you. Because we discovered some years ago that there are animals that are friendly with us. And these animals also got used to us because we are all bound by a natural law. Somewhere, somehow. That's why a dog can run to you. That's why you can give a dog's name. You can give the dog a name. And the dog start to know that, oh, so when they are talking about Spooky, they are calling me. So this is my name. My name is Spooky. Okay. When they say Spooky, the dog runs and gets the food. The dog will understand. So that's my name, Spooky. Okay. And then they give another dog. And you see, when the man leaves the house, you see three dogs following this guy. And in fact, when they see a springbok or they see what, they start chasing. And they kill the springbok and the master will come and take. And you see, they are given what they are given when it is skinned. They get used to the, it becomes coded into the medulla oblongata of the dogs, but not lions. Because we discovered under natural law that lions seize us as food. So when we meet lions, what do? It's defense mode, offensive. So, but spiritually, you became the clan of a lion. And that lion is not physical. It is a spiritual police officer that takes the form of a lion and to oversee contractual agreement. You see, to oversee contractual agreements. Our forefathers came to realize that this agreement was not mutual. It was not based on mutual understanding. There is no mutual understanding between a human being and the spirit entities, especially at this level. There is no mutual understanding. So it is transactional. And if you don't have a child, you can't do business. You can't do transaction. Just like when you don't have money. You don't have ability to make the money. So what are you looking for at the bank? You are wasting time. Next customer, please. That's what the bank will say. As I say, your account is always in negative. You don't have any investment somewhere. So there is nothing you cannot qualify for a loan because you don't have any, you don't have any agreement, any investment somewhere. And then you say, but why are you so rude to me? You want to start to be emotionally, emotional manipulative. You want to get into an emotional manipulative mode. You can even cry there and shed a tear. The bank attendant will call next customer. That is to tell you that you are wasting time. Your emotion can't count here. So the same thing our forefather came to discover, they have already put us all into powerful contractual, and it is forever. And it is forever. There are things I will not even say here because I might, scare you. I have a lot of things to say when it comes to this, but I will not say it all because I don't want to frighten you. But we are in a serious, contractual agreement. And it has become biological. Biospiritual. If there's such a term. That's why when somebody dies in a family, they say, who has been chosen by the spirit to continue? And we say it's a culture. Being chosen by the spirits that you need to continue, and we say that is culture. No, that's not culture. It's transactional. Because the spirit wants to make sure that your whole lineage pays for whatever it is that your forefathers went to ask. It's not free. Now, whether or not, do you know why Africa is sinking in debt? And maybe some countries like Russia and China were busy writing off some African debts. The spirits do not write off debts. For China to write off the debt to Africa, that is under common natural humanistic law, where the Chinese officials became human being enough to say, guys, let's relieve our brothers. That's a brotherhood spirit, but it does not exist in the spirit. It does not exist in witchcraft. In witchcraft, there is no brotherhood. But in culture, when we talk about culture, we talk about the entire world, because culture is an instinct of the instinct and the dictate, the coordinate of conscience. So for China to come to the level of writing debts for Africa, that should have taken a human being to think. And that is common sense, under common law, which is natural law. You know, the ethics.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
So this is common law under common, this is common sense under common law and common law under natural law. And the natural law connected to the instinct and the dictates and coordinates of our conscience. So, that comes to say, okay, we are going to write off your debts. We are going to give you, but in the spirit, when we started using witchcraft as part of way of life, that's when we started to have more problem in our society, which never existed, in fact, in culture. That's why we have a problem, like I said earlier on, that we have made it difficult for people to love culture. Because when people think about culture, they think about witchcraft. Because we have told them, and the fact is our elders. Our elders keep telling people, apparently, witchcraft is part of culture. And you know what the young people do? They would rather choose technology. And then we say witchcraft is technology, which is totally off, because technology is based on quantum physics. And it is not spiritual. That's why you have University of Science and Technology. It's not a spiritual entity. It is there. There is lower and upper campus. You can go to it anytime. You don't need an enchantment to get in there. And I told you that when John established the radio, he used his money. It is his investment. He bought all this, you know, equipment, and he went to apply for license for him to have, you know, to have frequency. And Kran is not spiritual. It exists in Windhoek. It's communication regulatory of Namibia. That is regulating all communications. And in fact, in fact, John doesn't even know what we talk about, apart from him finding out on social media when we put up our posters. So, and when I enter this door, I don't need to say some words for me to access the computer. I just need to open the door, sit in here if it is my time, and present my presentation and go home. Because this is physics that we are talking about. It's not spiritual. And physics, I told you, existed in culture before. We almost had industries, very powerful industries. If you go back to the Timbuktu's and you go back to archaeology, you will see the type of materials that people were using. High-tech stuff. At least high-tech under that dispensational generation. We deviated from all that because we thought spirits can help us do better. And spirits rendered us unproductive. Or maybe we can say the misunderstanding of spirituality is the one that rendered a black African man useless and unproductive. Just look at how many churches we have in Africa versus industries. And how many prayer warriors do we have who are praying the whole day? Are they changing their faith through prayer? Is prayer improving their lives? Is prayer creating jobs or creating wealth? No. Because we misunderstood what prayer is. And as a result, we became unproductive. And we became uncompetitive. And then we are drawing backward. Because it started with our forefathers' misunderstanding of spirituality. We kept going backward and we keep going backward now. You can't sit in front of a prophet the whole day. Or you can't go to church from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and expect to be productive. That will not work. You are becoming unproductive. So it is churches and it is shrines that have rendered a black man unproductive. That must be clear. And that is not God. You see, we have made it very easy for people to walk away whenever they hear we mention God. Because we have made it almost possible for people to associate unproductivity with spirituality. And certain people have chosen to have nothing to do with that. Because of our misrepresentation of what spirituality is supposed to achieve. So that's why we can't be on a stage equally with others. When others are talking about 6G, we are talking about potable water. Nobody's talking about water in China, like giving water to the people. You go in at a conference and you are talking about how you are going to give potable water and sanitation to people. That's a backward cheap talk. Because people are talking about 6G connectivity. They are talking about fusion technology. They are talking about quantum computing. And they are talking about, you know, potable water. That's how backward we have become. And it is even becoming more worse. It is even becoming worse. We spend time chasing after spirits. And by the time we come out of that, we are tired. We just go and sleep. That's why it is easy to find a teacher that attends church. Very easy to spot them. Because they'll be sleeping in class next time, next day. Why? Because it has been a church service the whole night. Unproductive people. This is, you know, this is harsh, but this is true. I'm sounding harsh, but I'm true. You know, we are supposed to be, you see, look at this way. We are reading the Bible, the same Bible. With others. But this same Bible provides principles of wealth making to others, and from the same Bible you get nothing but principles of poverty, of how to be more poor. How come? Same thing, same method, but different result. Why? Because of our misrepresentation of and misinterpretation, misunderstanding, misplaced knowledge of spirituality. This is what rendered us weak. It has rendered us unproductive and uncompetitive. To a certain extent, we even become religious fanatics, that we are unapproachable. And we don't just become religious fanatics. From a Christian point of view, we become, you know, spiritual fanatics from, I don't even know how to call it. We become something else. I can tell you that. We have become something else. Our poverty is facilitated by ourselves. Because we fail to understand simple principle of life. And we want to think that everything is spiritual. Everything must just be done by spirits. This is what rendered our forefathers unproductive. And for 400 years, our forefathers were sinking in this, you know, in this spiritual mess. And by the time a generation woke up, we were already in the midst of colonialization. Because for 400 years, we have given these guys big space enough, free walk, to establish strongholds and to lay down economic statutes and precepts that will later on come and haunt us. We facilitated their, you see, we anchored, in fact, we assisted them to lay a very powerful foundation. And they were busy establishing wealth for 500 years while we were busy chasing after spirits and creating totem organizations. So we shouldn't even come to the point of saying totem is culture. Because if we stick to culture, if we have stick to our culture, it was going to be very difficult for anyone to have manipulated us, because we knew we had everything. We became manipulated because we were chasing after spirits, and our craving for spirits became higher than our logical, you know, capacity. To the point that anything goes. If anybody comes with this way of doing things, we go. Because we no longer stand on a on moral foundation. So that's why other countries are developing, but they are using their cultural morality to develop. They are using their cultural instinct, you know, to create technology and development for their people. We are still talking about, you know, potable water and electrification. That's 1969 type of talk. Which means we are almost 56 years backward. So our major, we need to spot our major contribution to where we are finding ourselves, to the reason why, you know, we are in an economic struggle. We're not supposed to be part of that economic struggle. Never. These people spied on us for 400 years and we did not notice. Look, 200 years before, there were rumors that a black man is intact. He has everything. He needs nothing from anyone. So, we started deviating from our own culture. We started moving away from natural common law, principles of work, thoughtful work, you know, creative work. We started getting into contractual agreement with spirits, that in fact, deceptive contractual agreements that rendered us uncompetitive with others. Because they started to discover glass. And they say, oh, so we can make a cup out of, you know, out of clay, from clay into glass. We turned back, we went 180 degrees further from our own culture, because we could have discovered diamond and understood how to smelt it and create wealth out of it. Just like we did discover clay. We created clay. We created wealth out of clay. We created wealth out of wood. In fact, we created wealth out of grass. We created, you know, wealth out of, you know, out of palm leaves. We started to look to say, no, these are not just leaves of a palm tree. This, we can wave baskets and carry bags. This is just not a skin of an animal. We can process it and make, you know, clothes and shoes out of it. That was a culture. But we let all that down. And we went into a path of spiritual contractual agreements, which rendered us, you know, unproductive to the point that when we woke up from that, we were already in the midst of chaos. And because we did not have the intellectual capacity to negotiate, we decided, fine, we are just going to fight. Which was a good decision. But it was not driven with knowledge. It was just driven with zeal. People were just zealous and courageous to go and fight, but not having a plan to say, after we fight, what are we going to do? We, in fact, did not discover that by the time we decided to fight, these people were already 350 years deep-rooted, established economically. How were we going to alter that? We didn't have that plan. Because we didn't have time. Because we have wasted a lot of time with spirits. Just like you waste a lot of time today in church, doing nothing but noise. And then at the end of the day, we want to blame, you know, we want to blame a white person, European person, when we have facilitated his establishment. In fact, we have helped him to establish himself. Because we were busy doing other things. Now, let me ask you a question. How economical is your totem? What is the economic benefit of your totem? Versus, for example, if I give you maybe the Rothschild. You hear that name, Rothschild? That's lineage. Just put your totem parallel. So, we wasted time. We had enough time to discover what our endowment is. And if we could have discovered before that, look, we are endowed with such wealth. Huh? I don't know what type of Africa would that have been. We could have created mechanism very difficult for anybody to penetrate us, but just agree with us. You see, the Arabs, some of them started waking up saying, let's work. Yes, let's be spiritual, but let's work. They started waking up. And they started discovering the endowment they have and how to capitalize on it. You see? And the British and the French could not penetrate there. They started understanding that, look, it is through negotiation that we can get through these people. It's not through, you know, cheap tricks. Because these guys are self-aware. The level of self-awareness in these people is very high. So we need to change our tactics. We lost our self-awareness because our logic, we left it and we went into the spirits. That's our problem. Africa is like a pregnant girl. It's like a girl that fell pregnant. And after giving birth, got pregnant again. And giving birth, got pregnant again. And giving birth, got pregnant again. And then she wants to blame the men that were impregnating her. and then she wants to think that she is innocent from all that activity when it takes the two to tangle. That's why we keep saying that we were colonized. A white man found us and took our culture, took our... Look, I'm no longer enjoying such kind of talk. Because that kind of talk shows us that we are failing to take responsibility. That kind of talk is showing us that we are failing to become accountable. Two girls that fell pregnant. One decides, okay, I'm going to carry this baby. And after I give birth, I'm coming back to my studies. Gives birth, goes back to the studies. Says, okay, Meme, I'm going to be making milk. And I leave you with the milk for the child. I'm going to school. And graduates. And today, that girl is a teacher or a graduate, working, you know, creating her own, having her own money. Then comes the same girl of the same age, gets pregnant, and after getting pregnant, after giving birth, she's moving from one cooker shop to the other. Pregnant again. And then pregnant again. And then pregnant again. And then she wants to talk and say she wants to blame all the men that she has been with. This is a sign that this girl has no ambition of to achieve anything in life. And Africa is that girl. You know, Africa is that girl that had no ambition at all. You want to blame Europe, you are blaming France. France is another, Britain and Germany and who and what for what. What about China that went through under terrible opium colonization and, you know, Japanese occupation? They shook it all. And they said, well, fine, I got a baby, but I'm going to study. So, and China today is the second largest economy with leading tech industry in the world. So, it's to show that we have all gone through the same, but other people were ambitious enough to have changed their situation. We as Africans, one problem that we have is that we enjoy playing the victim. Any person that plays the victim is a person that, number one, has no ambition. Number two, this person is failing to take responsibility. So, let's be the generation, let's understand where we are coming from. How did we find ourselves entangled in what we are entangled in? When we come back next week, we are coming to make a difference between taboos, you know, beliefs, and superstitions. We are coming to find out which one is cultural and which one is spiritual. So we need to understand that radio is not a white man's witchcraft. No, there is no white man's witchcraft and black man's witchcraft. Witchcraft is witchcraft. Witchcraft is spiritual. Just like there is no water for black people and water for white people. Water is water. We all drink water. Just like there's no oxygen for whites and oxygen for blacks, we all breathe in the same air. So spirituality is not cultural. Spirituality is spiritual. 083-2888-401. That's a number in studio if you want to be part of the conversation. I'm here until, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, I'll be out of here. I'll be out of here by 9. By 9.
The perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right. In our culture, as human beings, that is led into the instinct of our conscience, we appreciate people that we see, and while they are still alive. At some point, we started losing that trait, and we started to think that people become more important when they are dead. So, and that's why that the current trend is that we wait for a person to die, that's when we say good thing about them. But the instinct of culture says the person must hear what, who they are in their contribution to society. So we were deceived to understand, to believe that a person becomes very important when they are dead. But that's not true. So in our culture, as human beings, we embrace the fact that let the person know their contribution. So let the person hear. That's why there is a proverb. There's a proverb in Oshwambo that says "Ongoma uhaihokela ponjila," which means the person must know, must hear that, okay, no, I think you are doing it right here, but what if you do it this way? So, we lost culture. Big time. We lost culture, and we continue losing it. We continue losing culture because we became more lenient to spiritualism, spiritism, where, you know, when you die, you become an ancestor, and then we start to worship you. No. You are an ancestor. You cannot be an ancestor if nobody proceeded from you. So if you die and you were never an ancestor, you can never become an ancestor after you are dead. That does not work. An ancestor is somebody from whom you proceed. That's an ancestor. So, my father became an ancestor the first day I was born. My mother became an ancestor the first day she became pregnant of me, because I'm supposed to proceed from her. You don't become an ancestor when you are dead. But there's a reason why that was established, and that's what we are going to look at next Sunday, because I cannot, you know, touch on it in 7 minutes. There's a reason why that was established. And that's not cultural. It is spiritual. It is contractual. So, I think we are getting there in terms of making the distinction between, you know, what is cultural and what is not cultural. What is cultural and what is, you know, spiritual. For those who just came on radio, I cannot sum up what I've said from the beginning, but I just want to give you a sip of what we've been talking about. You know, we said that totems are not cultural. So when you are going for a totem expo, and people are, you know, they're in a totem expo, it's not culture. So it is, totem expo is spiritual. You know, you are, you know, trade fair, for example, it's economical, right? It's a trade fair where anybody comes and they erect their stand, their stall there, and they showcase their product. It's a trade fair. That's not a culture. Because in culture, we don't sell. We never used to sell in our culture. So, but a trade fair is not political. So it's not a rally. It's an economic activity. It's an economic, you know, activity. Now people, when we create a cultural festival, for example, where we are showcasing our way of life, you know, and you bring in totems, or you bring in acts, or, you know, of making rain, that's not culture. That's spiritual. But because we have no way to put that, we will always say, no, it's culture. We are celebrating our culture. But deep down in your hearts, you know that that's not a culture you're celebrating. It's just because we don't have, we have no way to put spirituality. You know, when you are a member of a Roman Catholic Church, that's not your culture. If you are a member of Elsin Church, it's not your culture. But we know that you can be a good member of a church if you are well cultured. You know, when you are raised properly. And churches are trying to do what they were not supposed to do. It is church and government that is confused. Because church is trying to think that they can raise children. And government is also trying to dictate how children should be raised. That's a confusion. The responsibility to raise a child is not on the shoulder of a government or a church. The responsibility to raise children is in the custodianship of a tradition. Because in fact, it's even tradition or culture that gave birth to government. In fact, it is culture that also gave birth to church. Without people that are coming from houses, you don't have members. That's why you have worse children today in school, because the government has raised children to be too free that they are now freely disrespecting teachers. It is government that created that. Because under our culture and the norms, an elder is an elder, whether that person is a teacher or a matron. They have all the right to discipline me as a child if I go the wrong way. But government interfered and took over the responsibility that is not supposed to be theirs. And now you have Ministry of Education and Gender and the police. that are at the helm of all this. So, if you are not morally raised properly, you will be a bad police officer. That's already automatic. If you are not trained, if you are not raised up properly from the house, you will be a bad government official. We need to understand that democracy has no morality. In fact, democracy is practically immoral. Democracy is practically unethical. In democracy, there is loss of principles and a gross loss of morality. It is in democracy. So, the first thing that God created was not a church. God created a family that gave birth to a village that created the culture and tradition and ethical morality that supposed to spearhead our harmonious coexistence. That if from the house you are taught to respect people, you will become a prophet that is full of respect. You don't talk to people just anyhow, just because you are a prophet. That cuts into your morality. How were you raised up? So that's why we have people who just come from prison today and tomorrow they are pastors. No mentorship, nothing. And everything they do is chaotic. So, Elisha walked with Elijah for 21 years. And when he became a prophet, he was a prophet under the moral guidance of Elijah. Even Jesus, he was first under John the Baptist. He put himself under John the Baptist. So there is no one that can tell me that you can live without morality. In fact, if you read in Luke chapter 2, you will hear that Jesus was brought up. He was brought up in the morality, moral ethics, and custom of his parents. Read it, you'll understand. So Christianity says, the Bible says Jesus is the Son of God, but he still needed to be under custom. He still needed to be under custom for him to start his ministry well. He needed a foundation. Where is the foundation? At the house. And the houses are not, the custodianship of raising children is under tradition, not under politics. It is not under politics. It is also not under religion. So, one of the commandments says, honor your father and mother, so that what? Your days. So if you want a lifespan, if you want to cut your life short, just dishonor your parents. Your parents' mouth is bigger than the pastor's mouth. You need to know that. That if your father stands up and says something about you, whether good or bad, no pastor on this earth will be able to alter that, because the authority was never given to a pastor over your life. The first level of God in your life is your parents. the first level of God in your life is your parent. Those are the first level of God. So if you want to respect God better, start with your parents. Because you can never respect God you have never seen if you fail to respect the parents whose face you see every day. So you can never worship God you have never seen if you can't honor your parent that you see every day. Before you go to choir practice or whatever it is, make sure you have done all your chores and you ask your parent, is there anything I can do before I go? Then they know that you are going to church. Some of you want your parents to follow you to church, but when you're at church, you are angels. But you become, you are disrespectful and disobedient at home. And your parents will not like church because they look at church as a source of your disobedience. So any pastor who is true should encourage people to respect their parents. And any pastor who is true should encourage people to respect government laws. Any church that encourages you to violate the law at home, that is not a church. It is a shrine, and you need to run away from it. Because God is not against culture. God is not against culture. You need to know that. And it has been presented in church in making people to think that God is against culture. Leave those culture things. Come to church. No. Any pastor saying that, he's ignorant. He doesn't know what culture is. So we need to understand what, you know, culture is, so that, in fact, it is through our culture where we discover our value. Because a person that does not know his value cannot be a good church member. A person that does not know his value can never be a good police officer. He can never be a good parliamentarian if you don't know who your value. You will create laws that disvalue the society because you yourself as a lawmaker don't know your value. When you have failed to be raised up properly, you want to come up with children's rights that are loose because you yourself have no moral. You know, you are not on any moral foundation. So laws are set up, they become a replica of the people that are, the makers. If you have a corrupted lawmaker, he will make corrupted laws. The laws that will corrupt society. Because you are having a corrupted lawmaker, a corrupted person as a lawmaker. An immoral person. In fact, academically sound, but very immoral. No principle, nothing. So you will have problem. But the problem is coming from government. Government and church. you are not supposed to be responsible for the raising of children. Leave that to houses. You know, under the custodianship of tradition. When the Bible says, train the child in the way that he should go, so that when he grows up, he will not walk away from it. It is not talking to a pastor. This is talking to a household. This is a scripture speaking to culture. That culture must be able to raise a child in a way, in a right way, that he should go. So that when this child is grown up, he will not depart from, you know, from it. So, the responsibility to raise children is not parliament, it's not ministry of gender, it's not police, it's not Elsin, it's not Catholic, it's not Pentecostal. This is traditional. You are causing a lot of problems by getting to do what you're not supposed to do. This is not your responsibility. So the responsibility of a church is to preach salvation. It's the sin issue. You deal with sin. But when it comes to morality, and the morality comes to tradition. When it comes to, you know, national identity and pride, that's government. So sin and the relationship between a human being and God, that's church. When it comes to morality and how children should grow up and their ethics and when it comes to the harmonious coexistence between one human being and the other, that's not the responsibility of church or government. That's tradition. Ladies and gentlemen, we are landing. This has been Realm of the Historics with me, the Break of Dawn, the only reliable kinetic energy in town, the cradle of all inspiration. Eagle FM's only one. Eagle FM's only self-propelled and advanced bazooka. I say to you, have a great day till we meet again next Saturday.